tried that bullshit.
Icy cereal?
Dude.
You try now. Oh, okay. It's Kellogg's. It kind of looks like it's supposed to be like a Captain Crunch ripoff.
It's not at all. You know, okay, it may look. It's supposed to. Okay, I don't know what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be good. It's not. There's no way around it. It's dog shit. It is dog shit. So, and I wasn't exaggerating. Like,
it doesn't like taste like berries or anything like that.
It tastes all right. You know. All right, so we're all right. Let me back catch everyone up here. I'm a food lion. You know, I had a couple days off, which we'll get into for a reason why in a second. And I should have known better. I don't buy cereal anymore. I just don't. So I saw this, and the last time I got cereal, I think was a mix of Frosted Flakes and the Lucky Charms marshmallows. And I'm like, how does that go wrong? It does. I thought it was a virtual impossibility to make either Frosted Flakes bad or Lucky Charms bad. Somehow. I don't know. I think that's Kellogg's too, right?
I never liked Lucky Charms.
Really? That's still one of my favorites. Although the Lucky Stars from Aldi is far better. I don't know why. It just is.
I was not that much of a marshmallow fan as a child. And on top of that, they always tasted chalky to me.
Okay, so let's get this out of the way first. They're not real marshmallows. I mean, I guess they're supposed to be dehydrated marshmallows. But look, get out of here. Like, I don't have a dehydrator. Is that what they're called? I don't know.
Yeah, it is. Okay. You can get one of those.
I've never actually tried to dehydrate a marshmallow, but I'm pretty sure they don't get that small. And yes, I know you can cut them into pieces, but why? So anyways, I didn't mind those.
I guess I still do like the Frosted Flakes. It's a bit of a no-brainer. It's like they're covering up the terribleness of the flakes without the sugar on it.
What are they? What are they? Corn flakes?
I think they're right? Corn flakes. Yeah.
It's been forever. So you can have the adult version of Frosted Flakes, which are called Corn Flakes. Why? Why would you do that? just eat Frosted Flakes. But yeah, so, I mean, it's like, all right, so this does taste good. What do you want to do? I want to cover it in sugar. Oh, yeah, that'll make it taste better. I understand that. Yeah, duh. It's like eating a plain donut. No, put some icing on the thing. Like, unless it's I guess it's not a plain donut, but, you know, you get them at, like, apple cideries and all that, you know, in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, back to the icy thing. Food Lion gets stuff I've never seen. Anywhere else. We have a store, Harris Teeter. We have Publix. There's a Lidl. I don't know if you know what those are. I think they're German.
No.
Yeah, they're supposed to be, everything's whatever. They've been building one down the street for 2 years, and that's not an exaggeration. They've put up apartment buildings, 4 or 5-story apartment buildings, quicker than this Lidl place. But that's got nothing to do with anything. So... this is where I found, like, that natural light strawberry lemonade flavor.
I think it was Steve at Not Dr. Death that posted there's a peach natural light, and I'm just like... I'm just sitting there going... Do you guys not think your local brewery would make this better? Like, I'm just asking questions here.
Hey, listen. You're drinking natural light. Do you think, and I know how this sounds snobbish, but it's true. Do you think the people who are sucking down natty lights are sitting there going, I want to go to Everest Mountain Brewing Company?
Well, why just go with a peach one? Like, that's what's weird to me.
Stunned.
Not stunned, just shaking my head and even smart-ass disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what more could you want? I did not know there was a peach. I will say this. The Natty Light Strawberry Lemonade was not terrible. I couldn't drink more than one can, and I gave the rest away. It was just weird. And that's not... Well, okay, that is what this icy concoction of cereal is. So, for the first big mistake, it is the cherry flavor, and it is the blue raspberry flavor. There is no cola flavor. Everyone knows you mix the cola in something else. This is how it worked. And then if the cola side wasn't working, you would just get, you know, the regular, whatever. No one ever got just cola because there was no point.
Like, oh, there's cola in an icy?
You never saw the cola flavor? It was the brown one.
No, 7... Oh. Yeah, 7-Eleven got run out of town pretty early on by Sheetz.
Well, those are slushies. No, those are... Oh, no. I just lost... What the hell is the 7... The
oh, slushies? It's not 7-Eleven that did the slushies?
They did, but they called them something different.
Well, then what...
They were called Slurpees.
Okay.
Which, isn't that a sexy name for a drink? Slurpee? what an appealing, enticing product. You want to drink this? No, I want to slurp it. Like, that's what you use in porn. That's what you say in porn. Like,
hey, the 80s, the 70s and 80s, just much more innocent time for the nation as a whole, Jeremy.
Yeah, they used to just poison us with shit. But now it's bad. Well, it's not poison, I guess. But that's what I said, I suppose. But it's, wow. So,
okay, so where was the icy sold then?
So icy's originally were at Kmart's, as far as I know.
Oh, okay.
Back when Kmart used to have the stand in the middle of the store, and they would have, like, pretzels, icy, and, like, some other stuff you wouldn't buy because you got your icy and pretzels. Or Hot Sam's, they were called back then, I should say.
Okay.
So that's where they were. So yeah, the one in Dearborn, where my grandmother used to take me, was cola on one side and red, which I guess is cherry.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember this one lady blew my mind as a kid, and she goes, "Do you want to mix it?" And I was like, "I'm sorry, what?" Like, "Wait, you can do that?" I'm like, "Yeah." So they used to mix them. Huh, it was like a cherry Coke. Except it would freeze your brain. Like, it was just, you know, it's how it works.
Oh.
That is not what this cereal is. There is nothing good about this thing. You bite into it, and it melts immediately. That's weird. Like, a solid just disintegrates. And then it leaves the film and weirdness of an icy in your mouth without the good flavor of that pure sugar. That's in the frozen sugar water. I got a, you know, and by the way, this box was $5.
Oh, well, it looks like from your picture, it might have been on a clearance shelf.
No, it wasn't. That was full price. Like, unless I don't buy cereal, so I don't know if that's cheap or not. But
yeah, I feel like it's kind of cheap.
Beats me. I know Kashi. When I used to eat cereal, I used to buy Kashi. That was good. But that was expensive because it was like the bougie shit.
Like I only get Cracklin' Oat Bran if I do ever buy it, and that stuff, if you don't immediately poop 45 minutes after you eat that, then you're, you know, it's not working correctly.
The old Cracklin' Aspirin.
Yeah, I love that stuff though.
This shit is so gross.
I don't know what it is. I think there's either cinnamon or nutmeg or something in there that I really like.
Anywho. Well, your body doesn't. That's for sure.
Just, you know, it's great before you get a colonoscopy. Just clean everything right out there.
You don't need one. Wait, after that. But this stuff, no, I tried eating a few bites of it, and man, obviously, I'm nowhere near a child's age, but I just look at some of the stuff and go, there's no way a kid would even like this. Outside of going, I'm eating Icy's. Like, The only time I've seen Icy now is at the movie theater. I don't see Icy anywhere else now.
Oh. Yeah, I pay so little attention to even pop and or soda, yeah. However you feel like calling it. And, I wouldn't know if Icy's existed, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were just at the movies yesterday. That's how I saw it. But that's really, I mean, they used to be in, like, every department store. Or, wait, was it Kmart? Like, that was a department store, right?
Well, yeah.
Or was
that a big box store? Yeah, I guess you'd call that a big box store.
All right, because I know, like, Walmart, Target, and that, but, yeah. But anyways, in case someone doesn't know what a Kmart is, I just forgot about that.
Oh, man, yeah, we are at that stage where Kmart does need to be explained, since it's kind of old.
Well, I remember in Detroit, there was a place called Kresge's, and it was the exact same as Kmart. And all of a sudden, Kresge just disappeared. And then Kmart was around. And we used to live around the Kmart headquarters. And you're like, wow, this is never going away. Damn. Whoops. So, just all that stuff. But yeah, that was... I had to try it. You're making a bad purchase, right? You know you're making a bad purchase.
I have definitely learned that the bad part of wanting to try multiple things is that you are inevitably going to get something that you do not like.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I haven't watched the whole thing, but Seth Rollins was on the Logan Paul's Impulsive or whatever. And Seth was talking about how, you know, I've lost more than I've won. And I don't think I've ever heard this before, so I'm, you know, but he was talking, I was like, yeah, everywhere to get to where I'm at, there are so many losses I had to take to get to, like, this one, you know, one victory, something like that. And I was like, that kind of applies to everything. So I guess that was, like, his life lesson or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And it really is that way. Like, you just remembers your victories. You know, obviously in sports it's a little different, but... like, this is like just another bad purchase.
Oh.
I just knew going into it was going to be bad, and it just fulfilled every
every promise you expected. Oh yeah, I can't think of the, because I mean I know that I make purchases like that too. I'm like, I've just got to give the. Oh, you know what? I never ended up getting was that pitch black Mountain Dew. That was one thing when they were advertising that for the WWE. I'm like, I kept on seeing it in 12 packs. I'm like, I don't want to commit to that. Can you just get me like, can I find a 16 ouncer on at the checkout aisle for me, please, so that I can just have the one and be done and just go, oh, okay, it was terrible or it was good. Most people seem to think it was terrible, so I did not have high expectations.
See, ever since I had COVID, like, soda, pop, whatever you want to call it, none of it tastes good. And maybe that's why I hate this Icy so much.
Oh, but, well, that probably does not help at all.
Yeah, but it's funny, like, the Zion's energy drinks, but it almost sounds like this is, like, a sponsored post, and it's not. But it's like, I drink, like, the Zion's, or Science, it's spelled with XY. Those taste the same. I actually enjoy the taste of those. And there's like 20 calories and no calories, no sugar. But like Dr. Pepper, garbage. Mr. Pibb Extra, which is hilarious. I don't never see a Mr. Pibb, but I see a Mr. Pibb Extra everywhere. It's like, why don't you just fucking make one and be done with it? Like, there's no one's going to know. No one drinks soda pop, phosphates, whatever, for caffeine anyways.
Really? I mean, I don't, just because I'm trying to think, yeah, no, you know what? People are at my office do. Oh.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't really hang around anybody who drinks that stuff. Even my parents, they don't even drink the diet stuff anymore. They just went out in the water.
Oh,
you know, and I get it.
My mother is the queen of, decaffeinated pop.
They did that too. there's not that much in there. If they had a, your mom had a monster, she'd go out of her fucking mind. Like, that's like a real caffeine boost, you know? Not like a Diet Coke.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was just remembering how terrible, I forget who I was talking to about it somewhat recently, but it was the old Jaeger and Red Bull. I'm like, why was this a good idea? Did really taste like Smarties. B, so, I mean, there was some upside to it, even though that's still like another weird, chalky candy that it's just like, why did I like this thing? Why do I still kind of like this thing?
Mm-hmm. So you get that roll and just kill it. Remember Sprees? I don't even know. Do they make those?
Yeah, Sprees are still around.
Okay. I mean, that was just a giant Smartie compressed and it wrapped in a candy coating.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I like these. Then remember they made Chewy Sprees?
Yes.
I actually like those a little bit better. I guess they were easier to eat for my garbage-ass teeth. Now, one of the reasons I got the Icy, because I was like, you know what? I hit a stride on something good. I haven't been to Taco Bell in like 6 or 7 years. And then I saw a commercial on TV. They said the Volcano menu's back. I went the same day. That Volcano menu is awesome.
I guess I don't remember what the Volcano menu is.
It's supposed to be piping hot. It's not. Oh. It just tastes good. Whatever they have in the sauce, the Volcano sauce, and they know it too because they actually sell you a side of Volcano sauce for $1 if you want it. Oh. And I really should have just bought a bunch of those.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I'm a sucker for those, what is it, the nacho fries?
I've never had those.
If they would just, you know, serve them warm, it would be great.
Okay, look, man, you're a Taco Bell for getting French fries. Remember that place in Detroit, Del Taco, that had hamburger, no, it had tacos and French fries? We were all losing our minds, like, what kind of place does this?
I believe that they just expanded to Columbus somewhat recently.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that place was around still. But I remember how confused we were. Yeah. We want a bunch of tacos and can I get a large fry? Absolutely. All right, we're not seeing stuff. Okay. All right. But yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that Volcano menu, though, dude. God. And I tried a Baja Blast. Trash. If Mountain Dew wasn't just bad for you anyways, and I know you just said you wanted to try Pitch Black, but that Baja Blast, that stuff comes out like syrup. And that's even when it's carbonated.
Oh.
Lord.
Ugh. Yeah, because I don't think I've ever... That's one of the few places when I do hit Taco Bell, that's one of the few times I drink Mountain Dew just to go, yeah, I still kind of like this flavor. and move along with things, but I have not used because I mean that was definitely my caffeine of choice back in the day.
Oh yeah, it was everybody's, and then all of a sudden Monster came out, or Red Bull came out, right? That was first.
That I had quit Mountain Dew well before that had happened, but yeah, I think Monster was first. I mean. If I really needed something, Jolt Cola was always a call away too. Because that was another one where I think it's still around somewhere.
Jolt is still around, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking Yoo-Hoo. Yoo-Hoo was the caffeinated chocolate milk, right?
I don't remember it being caffeinated. It was definitely the chocolate milk.
All right, so Jolt is definitely the caffeinated one. Isn't that a caffeinated chocolate milk or something?
No, that's just it's just like a Coke or a Pepsi. It doesn't taste like to me. It doesn't taste like either of those. At least what is in my memory about it. So yeah, it was just a straight up cola. Jolt Cola. Because I remember
actual caffeinated milk. Oh my god.
I remember drinking one and then. Because I had been up like 36 hours or something, promptly falling asleep in art history class.
No. Good reason. this guy drew this, and then this guy painted. Can we go?
People with no artistic bones in their bodies.
I know it's a little different. But speaking of movies, finally saw Mission Impossible 7. And by the way, our wives aren't, like, on the most upkeep, by the way.
Oh my God, no.
After we're driving home, this one turns to me and goes, yeah, so did you know that this was only the first part? This is like, there's going to be another part to this movie?
on the way home?
Yeah, and I went, what? Yeah, of course I do. I was like, the movie's called Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. She goes, well, no, like, at the end of this, did you realize there was going to be another one? And I went, yeah, it was part one. She goes, oh, I didn't know there were two parts. And I went, wait a minute. The credits at the beginning of the movie very clearly said
Part 1.
Dead Reckoning Part 1. Well, yeah, but I didn't know going in. And I'm like, wait. But every commercial said
Part 1.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Yeah, they're not hiding it like Fast and Furious was.
Right. But then she said, yeah, well, it's not just me. Kevin's wife didn't know either. She was the one that told me. And she was just as surprised.
Oh my God. She did not relate this news to me, and that's probably for the best.
And I went, I'm sorry, what? What? Yeah, she went to the movie. She didn't realize that this was only like part one of something. I understand the explanation. Like, oh, I didn't know this was part one because I just called it Mission Impossible, the new Mission Impossible movie.
Oh, right.
Which I immediately reject because the title, again,
on screen,
Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning,
Part 1. Literally on the screen at the beginning
of the
movie.
It's on the giant stand-up of Tom Cruise when we walked in the movie theater. It's on the, like, the Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1, cup and popcorn box.
Oh, they did not give us one of those. That was not very nice of them.
Yeah, it was like the special one. I was like, I don't know. After I got fucked over buying the Hulk Avengers Endgame one, like, pick your Avenger, and he doesn't even do anything in the movie, I was like, yeah, I'm never doing this again. So
the Hulk wrecked it for you, huh?
Listen, that's one of the biggest travesties they've done is making the Hulk a fucking joke. Like, they even said, like, well, the original, was it not Endgame? What was the one before that? Infinity War.
Oh, yeah.
He was supposed to turn back into the Hulk and help out. And they're like, well, no, that doesn't make sense because it's too convenient or obvious. And I'm like, well, yeah, but they still lose anyways. So it wouldn't have mattered. And in one of the rare feats where Marvel's characters actually grow, he decides he doesn't want to be the Hulk anymore. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. So anyways. But as soon as they get the rights back so they can use him in their own movie, he'll be back to being the Hulk again. So,
but oh, is that...
Yeah, he's actually a universal character still.
I guess that makes sense. They still have the Hulk ride, the Hulkbuster ride there.
Yeah, so they can't do a solo movie with him, but he can be in other stuff.
Oh, so he could have been in that, though.
Right, he could have. They just didn't.
Because
there weren't going to be any spinoffs. I'm like, whatever. But Mission Impossible 7 or Dead Reckoning Part 1, that movie was awesome. And
oh, yes.
It did. It had some of its flaws, like calling the bad guy the entity the whole time. That really got me bothered. I'm like, can we please give it a cool villain name already? You know, just Ghost. I don't know. Oh, no, they already had Ghost Recall, didn't they?
Yeah, like Ghost Protocol.
That was it, yeah. So you can't do that.
Nope.
But, you know, it's like something better. And I thought the part with the train at the end where the cars kept breaking off.
No.
I thought that was a little long.
I was a bit when they got to the fourth car and then like the fourth car started going over. I'm like, haven't we done this for long enough now? Like, why are we in this one? Like, there is some fun camera work and whatnot in there, and a lot of enjoyable angles when they were doing that. But yeah, it felt a little long.
Listen, the stunts in this, and I know Tom Cruise gets a lot of credit for the stunts, as he should. The car chase scene where Hayley Atwell's driving, and all of a sudden she just gets hit, like out of the
Oh,
blue.
yeah.
That scared the shit out of me, because you don't see that. Like a car getting hit, sure, but like the camera's right over her shoulder. You know it's her. And all of a sudden, boom, everything goes off, and it's like,
Well, yeah, it's like one of those you almost need to see a wise shot so you see it coming.
yeah,
Like
man.
that was almost wrestling work there, where you close crop it so that it's a real surprise when they actually get hit.
Yeah, and but my thing was like the camera work. I mean, it's her.
Yeah.
And I know they don't try and use CGI very often, as much as they can avoid it. But I mean, like the whole him jumping the motorcycle, that was off a ramp. So it's like, all
Oh,
right, they just covered it up.
I'm waiting for someone to try and convince me that they actually allowed the Spanish Steps in Rome to be destroyed.
I've always wondered how they do that stuff, because wasn't that used in John Wick? I
They
think.
might have used the Spanish Steps in John Wick too. Because
Okay.
yeah, it's a really famous site down in Rome. Because I'm trying to remember if they got to Rome at some
Oh, I'm
point.
sorry, not John Wick, Fast and Furious.
Oh, well, yeah, that's possible too.
Yeah.
Because that's another one where we're like, oh, everything we do is real. And I'm like, I'm sorry, a national monument is not going to get wrecked by the Fast and Furious. Go fuck
Right.
yourself. Like,
Yeah.
I not all of your stunts are real. Bite me.
But yeah, but like they probably, that was Tom Cruise jumping off of a fucking mountain. That was him jumping out of the train in that jumpsuit. I thought it was gonna be like one of the skydive suits, whatever. But
Oh,
like that's
yeah.
always him doing that stuff. Even like driving around, that was really, I love the complexity of the handcuffed hands being on the wrong hands and all that stuff.
The only thing I was trying to figure out is, oh, hold on. They were in Rome for that part, weren't they?
Yes.
Okay, that's why the steering
Or
wheel was on the correct
Venice.
side.
Did I say it was not the same thing? But yeah, that was one thing I was like, wait, why is the steering wheel on that side? But then I just went, I don't care. I'm watching a movie about how the entire like
Oh.
collective military intelligence gets gassed and there's no repercussions. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm letting it go.
Yeah, a war has not started with any of the shenanigans that have gone on.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Yep.
And I loved, and I don't remember him being in it. I love that they introduced Cary Elwes as a director of intelligence and then kill him at the end of the movie. He's got 10 minutes of screen time. And like he's just trying to take over, like I what? And they kill him and that's it. They're like, what?
Yeah, I was a little bummed with that just because I like he's definitely been a favorite since the Princess Bride days, so.
Yeah, Saw.
Oh, well, I have seen zero Saw movies, so.
First one's pretty good. The rest just get into like the schlock of killing. That's all it is.
What? The horror movies never do that.
They really concentrate on just being gross, and they do a very successful job. So if that's what you're into, fine. If you're going for it for the plot, get out of here. So it's a horror movie. What do you want? But
Yeah.
yeah, I know. But I like outside of that, I really enjoyed the thing, man.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
another just top-notch Tom Cruise action flick. Because the dude knows how to make a movie, and you can say this guy directed it, and that's no. We all know they're all taking control or hands or lead from Tom Cruise. Because you know why? Because that guy is successful. He knows what he's doing. I know he's a goofy person in real life. Whatever. I don't care. He makes awesome movies.
Yes, he does. I mean, because that and Top Gun, Maverick were both excellent. You know, like although I did kind of laugh since he did the same thing as Top Gun Maverick there to begin this one. It's just like you could tell he's just like, guys, this gimmick's over. Can I not have to do this preamble before the movie again? Like,
yeah, but the thing is, like, we saw it last night, and it's been out a week and a half now. The crowd really likes that. You could hear people like getting giddy when it was like, you know, here's your mission. Should you choose to accept it? Everyone's getting giddy. It's just like, I don't know. It's kind of like hearing the lightsaber go off. I don't know. First thing that comes to mind. I always go to Star Wars for some reason.
Yeah. You know. Well, the one thing that I was thinking about just during that whole movie, let's just say
such a dumbass.
All the in-laws love to talk during movies. I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I can't do that.
Just, I'm glad.
I tell a stranger to shut up.
I was glad that I was on the far end and not really hearing the conversation. It was just kind of like racket off to my left-hand side. But I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, I can't believe how much you guys talk during a movie.
Are they talking about the movie?
Oh, yeah, like,
okay.
People always, at least some of it, it's always hilarious where it's just like, hey, I haven't seen this before either. Like, you know, like, what are you doing here? Like, yeah, it is so weird when, yeah, other people think that you should know the movie.
Hey, so who's this character? I'm in the same position you were. We do not understand. Yeah. Well, I remember with my ex, we took her sister to the second Matrix movie.
Oh, my God.
She hadn't seen the first one.
Yeah.
And she started talking, and I was like, shut up. I didn't know she hadn't seen the first one. She got all quiet. Like, I've never seen the first one. I'm like, oh fuck! Why didn't you say something? Because you told me to shut up. And I was like, oh no. Well, I mean, you're obedient, I guess. So that's nice.
There is some upside to this whole situation.
You're very polite listening. Yeah. So she had no clue what was going on. So, but at the same time, if you haven't seen the first one, why are you going to the second one?
Oh.
You know.
Yeah. The only time I've done anything like that was when I stopped. I think I watched the first three Harry Potter movies, and then Ken hit me up, and he's like, hey, do you want to see the Deathly Hallows Part 2? Like, the wife doesn't want to go see it, and I'm just like, oh, sure, my wife doesn't want to either. Like, I'll just head out with you. And but I mean, I had read all the books, so I mean, it was immaterial, honestly, whether I'd seen the movies. I'm just like, yeah, I know what goes on here. So, and I kind of had remembered the end of the movie or the end of the books at that point. It still had kind of been a while.
Yeah.
Because I don't think
all you needed to know was Harry never gets better at anything. He's the worst. He's literally the worst male lead of a fantasy action franchise ever. Everyone around him is better than he is.
Yeah, he just gets shit lucky all the time.
Yeah. Everyone manipulates him and uses him. Everyone around him that he loves dies. And then his big plan, he's had, what was it, 7 books? Nine?
9, I think.
Whatever it is. However many movies. He has all this time to figure out what's going on and kill Voldemort, right? What's his big plan? He tackles him off of a bridge?
Just fight him in a duel.
Like,
no clever plan, nothing.
He didn't go to Hermione and go, hey, you're way better than me in every sort of way. Can you come up with something? Yeah, it, like, the Harry Potter generation was like, you don't understand. Like, even Luke, like, Luke kind of sucked for a while, too. At least he figured it out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I'm not going to give in, and my dad's going to turn on you. And he was right. So, yeah, it just... Anyways, I have a big problem with Harry Potter because of that.
Yeah, but anyway, I guess to get back, I'm sure it would have been weird to just jump into the second Matrix movie after not seeing the first one. Like, that had to have been just incredibly confusing.
Mission Impossible's done a pretty good job that you don't really need to see all the other ones.
Oh, no. Like, but, and they even had kind of flashbacks in this one that if you hadn't, it's just like, hey, this is how we're connecting the dots. And it's just like, wow, that's kind of impressive, actually.
Yeah. I always love the opening credits to Mission Impossible because they give away the movie. They show you that basically the credits are like a little preview of the movie, which I always thought was fun. Then you're like, oh, that's going to happen? Cool, that's going to happen? I'm really looking forward to the next one next year because I don't remember them doing a whole lot of underwater stuff, and they got to get into a submarine.
Uh-oh.
So I was like, oh, and like he's talking about the mission. Or McKittrick's talking about the mission, and he goes, it doesn't matter if you choose to accept it or not. Yeah, I know you're going to do it. And it's just underwater going towards the sunken submarine, and I'm like, this crazy bastard's going to do some shit underwater now, isn't he?
Of course.
Good on him, man. I mean, I'm using insulting language, but I'm not. I'm not one of these people that hates Tom Cruise. I don't care about the Church of Scientology and how it's ruined people's lives. I grew up Catholic. There you go. So.
Yes. You can insert a religion here and say why it wrecked your life, and I'm sure that story is out there.
Yeah. But no, but you know what? The Church of Scientology, yeah, I'm sure it's pretty bad. And there we go.
They made some stuff up. Guess what, pal?
Yeah. No, if you try and leave the church... you ever tried leaving the Jewish faith? They don't really let you go. So, you know, the stupid shit the Catholics make you do, if you know more, well, you know more so later in life than I did growing up, but it's like, yeah, let's just knock this nonsense off. The only thing the Scientology gets a bad rap for, one, and this is actually well earned, this was done with electricity. Like, this religion was started after the printing press, after electricity, after air conditioning. How do you justify believing something when you don't look at the sun as your only source of heat? Yes, I know, but just go with it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go chop your own tree down.
Yeah. We were beyond the maybe we were playing God by ourselves at that point, maybe is a good way to put it.
Yeah, yes. We created our own heat.
Yeah. And
without fire. We created heat without fire. So, you know. Yeah, but anyways.
Yeah.
Speaking of heat, I don't know. Going to wrestling, fuck it.
Speaking of Sunday night heat.
Oh my God. And speaking of Sunday night heat, I watched that Blood and Guts match. I'm tired of this bullshit. Collision is such a better show than Dynamite. It's outrageous.
Yeah, it's starting to get to that point where it's just like, is the same person really running both of these shows?
They said Bryan Danielson and I can't remember somebody else were having more input on Collision than Tony Khan was.
Oh, okay.
And it shows. Dynamite. All right, listen. I liked the first match with Hook and Jack Perry. Because, one, it answered a question. They started that Jungle Boy music, and I was like, he's still coming out to the sing-along stuff, and he's a bad guy? And then they killed it and used, what, Beethoven's Fifth? No.
No.
not fifth. That's a dun 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 one.
Dun 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 dun. Yeah.
Wait, that wasn't
dun,
it,
dun,
was
dun,
it?
Dun. You know what? I wasn't even... I guess I must have tuned out that they changed the music, because I heard the Jungle Boy stuff and rolled my eyes and must have tuned out at that juncture.
But then they terrible. Got rid of it, and he came out with, like, whatever, different canned music.
Yeah.
He looks different, all that stuff. And I was like, all right. So good. This is the stuff that needed to happen. And Hook is still green as hell. You can tell. You know? But I didn't mind the match except for the spot where Jack Perry's telling the referee, count him out. Well, what are the rules? What are the FTW rules?
Like, oh.
It's not a sanctioned title. So...
Yeah. That's in such a bizarre... thing where they acknowledge constantly that it isn't a real title, and it's just like, well, then why would the promotion actually use it or put it on TV? Like, it just seems stupid.
Wasn't like the whole FTW was because Taz wasn't interested in winning the ECW title. He didn't need it. You know, he was already the best.
Yeah.
The FTW, like, and then they gave it to Brian Cage, Ricky Starks, Will Hobbs had it? No.
No, I think you're going with Hook TNT champions here.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, he's got only this many champions in its history. And it's like, well, one, it was a fake belt. And then two, it was gone for 30 years. So,
no.
Okay. Like, who cares? But I didn't mind. Like, it gives these two something to do.
Oh, and yeah.
When Hook lost, I was like, wait a second, that's his first loss, isn't it?
Oh.
And yeah. They were like, oh my god, the FTW title. And then Excalibur actually goes, and this also ends the undefeated career of Hook. And I was like, that's the bigger story. Yeah, yes, he lost his dad's belt, but he also lost his winning streak, which, you know, they hadn't really promoted too much.
No, it was definitely more under the table than Jade Cargill's, let's say, even if she has still been vanished for.
it doesn't sound like she's coming back. Like, just different interviews she's had and online, like, her online comments, unless she's just doing, you know, play people, it sounds like she just may be done. She had her run, made her money, so.
I guess good for her if she didn't really have long-term career plans in professional wrestling. Like, I mean, I still think she'd be in better hands in the WWE, quite frankly.
Damn right.
But,
well, if she was white, I'd say yes. But, well.
Bianca's done okay.
Okay, I was going to say. So we've got.
But then one. Maybe that's the problem, is that you have two women who are kind of similar.
Yes, and that's what I was actually going to... I mean, not to get away from NXT, EW real fast, but... Is it, like... There's definitely weird shit going on with WWE, but... I guess we're not really past that. Well, you can only have one... They only have one black women's wrestler, don't they? Who am I forgetting?
You know what, after moving on from Trinity, I actually need to go to the WWE's page to, because nothing is jumping out in my head.
There's Lash Legend, but she's an NXT.
Oh, Lacey, not Lacey Evans. She changed her name there. With Caden Carter.
Well, okay.
Although she may be, you know, multicultural.
Oh, sure. But it's like, okay, they just came up. But for the longest time, they had her Athena, Ember Moon. They dumped on her. Like, she never got off the ground, really, on the main roster.
No.
But I know Bianca's like a totally different animal, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just a different woman than Athena. So, But I was just trying to figure out if it's like time to let that go. But I don't think it is. So I'm not going to though.
Just because I just think that they'd end up being compared just because they're both, you know, strong and they have the athletic backgrounds. Especially since you can definitely tell that Vince is at least making some suggestions, or else you wouldn't have on again, off again, on again, off again, on again, off again feuds.
Okay, so let's go back to AEW so we can come back to this.
Sure. Second, blood and guts. And I'm still looking for another African American female wrestler. And not really coming up with an answer here.
Well, in AEW, you got Kiera Hogan whenever she's on, Athena, that's Ring of Honor. Like they've kind of, it's such kind of like I obviously don't mean it this way, but it is kind of funny to say it this way. Like they've kind of cornered the market on black female wrestlers. It's just kind of a weird thing to say, but it really is, you know.
They
kind of got them all.
Yeah, the women of the WWE, multicultural, not a whole lot of African Americans. I'm going to throw that out there. I just went through the list, and you know,
yeah.
We got some we got a Chinese woman, we got Filipino woman, you know, like
who's
Chinese. Xylee.
Who's that?
Oh, well, I mean...
That's the only reason I did that, so...
Yeah.
I know exactly who Xia Li is. It's a chick that... We had a goddamn Mortal Kombat character, and they're like, nah.
I have no idea what's going on there, like...
So anyways. But no, this episode of Dynamite, I don't like the Adam Cole stuff. I know everyone else is going to. I'm sticking to it. I don't mind it. But this is your heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything for the AEW title. Not a thing. We all know something's going to happen, and they kind of teased it. It's just more redundant nonsense. And it's not going to get these two over in a better way. Adam Cole looked like a moron last night. Doing the dancing stuff and all that. Unless this is like his ploy to embarrass himself and it's a double turn, or if Adam Cole just turns on him first, I guess it can be forgiven, sort of. But that dance off bullshit, who does it benefit? And someone's going to say, well, it's supposed to be entertaining. You know what also is entertaining? Good character work, a good match. But seeing like these grown-ass men dork dancing the whole time, especially Daniel Garcia, like, goddamn. Is it possible to fall and never stop falling?
Well, I mean, we can ask him, we can ask Wardlow, we can ask all the Acclaimed. We have a lot of examples.
They're getting their Trios title shot Saturday, though.
Yeah.
So.
I forgot that still exists.
Yeah, so did they, until they're like, hey, we got to do this Trios title.
Yeah, just because as much as I made fun of AEW for screwing their own announcers, Malakai Black has not actually been on TV for quite some, like, actual TV for quite some time. Like, I know that he did the video package, but.
But yeah, so it's like, I don't like this, and then, you know, Guevara just tumbled. Him and Jericho were, like, he had the face off with Jericho, and then at the end of this match, they kind of brought it up again with, you know, them blowing Jericho off. And it's like, well, okay.
That's in the category of when they mentioned that they're like, oh, I founded the Jericho Appreciation Society 2 years ago, and I'm like, oh my god, has it been around that long?
2 years of yuck.
Yeah, like...
It didn't work.
No. No. I mean...
No one's better off.
Not even the poor man handing in his fisherman hat.
No, I. Okay, listen. We don't have enough time to go over stuff on what AEW does wrong. So.
We always do. That's like
So.
half of this show. What are you trying to cut out half of the show?
And. Remember?
And we still haven't even talked about the blood and guts match at all,
There's not a lot to talk about, that's
even
why.
though we started with it.
It's just like they brought in Jake Hager. Everyone's going crazy, right? He's the badass. And like, was Jericho Appreciation Society supposed to be a joke group? Was that like the change from Inner Circle? Because Menard and Cool Daddy Mac or whatever, they're barely ever around. I don't, maybe all these guys are hurt too. I don't know. But like, they're never around. They never win. Sammy Guevara gets shoved to the side. Daniel Garcia, the guy, the breakout guy, gets put back under the thumb, and he's never recovered. Now he's doing this dancing shit. And I was supposed to be entertaining, but it's like, we saw what he could have become, and they just went, nope, we're gonna do this instead. Like, okay. And then wherever Anna Jay is. So.
Oof. Yeah, I mean she well, oh what? She lost that one match against what, Chris Statlander, and hasn't been seen in the couple of weeks since then.
And like on her Instagram, she's off doing bikini shoots and whatever else, which is all right, cool. I mean, not taking bumps, so good for you. Unless she's hurt, I don't know. I really don't.
That is just still one of the most bizarre things in just wrestling in general. It's just like we're never going to acknowledge that someone's hurt, or we're barely going to acknowledge it, even though everyone starts to go, "Where the fuck is this person? Like, what the hell's
Man,
going on?"
see, I was gonna say the same thing. But then, doesn't AEW have so many people who just disappear? And then they come back and go, oh, yeah, you've been gone.
Well, I
I totally
mean,
forgot.
we didn't even get into that aspect of things last week, where the 47 wrestlers that could have been Kota Ibushi, like, they're all on that. Oh, I forgot that you were employed here.
Yeah, well, there's definitely that, too. And, but it's like, all right. But it's like people just disappear and they don't tell you what happened. But AEW is so haphazard with who they book and who they bring in from show to show that it's like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I didn't know you worked here. Like,
Well, and I
it's.
think it's been kind of funny since the roster split, Cool Hand Ange and Daddy Magic, Matt Menard there. I think they've actually been on TV more than they were the rest of the 2 years of the Jericho Appreciation Society run. Outside of like that, they were super hot when they came in, off the heels of the ridiculous stuff in NXT. And then their push died about 2 months into their time in AEW.
It just the having the other show has helped get people on, right? There's still so many that aren't, so many that really do just disappear. So like, did they even mention, and maybe they did and I missed it, did they mention that Ty Mello is pregnant? They did? Okay, I just missed that then. I mean, that's kind of one that you're like, oh yeah, duh, because they said Sammy Guevara was having a kid. That's right. So.
Because yeah, I think they specifically mentioned Ty Mello being out of action because of that a couple of weeks ago, and ever since they've kind of brought up the soon-to-be dad kind of situation for Sammy Guevara. So it's like, yeah, I'm giving him a pass on that one. That one's been covered.
Okay, All right. That's very fair. So, yeah, man, it's as bad as WWE is, AEW is probably worse because they just don't book people. They're not hurt. They're just not there. So,
Well, and after Chris Statlander had a nice run, and got on TV almost as much, if not more, than Jade Cargill. I feel like now she has been MIA for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, no, she was on this week. She had a backstager. She was with Best Friends, remember?
Oh, Sugar, forgot about that.
Yep. So
you are correct, Saw.
But yeah, so it's... What else was on the show? Oh, Britt Baker had a quick match against a woman, and I guess there's a big backstory why. I didn't care to read into it. All it was Britt Baker came out, won, left.
It's
like, that's what...
It seemed, to me, it seemed like the big thing was that, maybe they wrestled or something like that before, and she was a local talent, you know, yada yada.
I guess she was in like a car accident. She was out of wrestling for a few years, and then came back. It's just, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Again, she's not one of the 47 people that you don't use on a regular basis. So
yeah, there are other women on your roster that could have taken this loss. Nice story, but maybe use the regularly contracted talent that you actually have. Yeah. I mean,
Sky Blue is right there to lose again. Wherever Rebel is. I guess you don't want her facing Britt, but still...
Sky Blue is actually getting a marginal push. I would not honestly expect her to be out there.
There's a thong joke in there, by the way. But let's just cover the main event real quick.
Well, yeah, this was kind of like Collision, where I just ran through the rundown. When you have something that takes up literally half of your program, there just isn't much else to the rest of it.
Yeah, no. And there wasn't much of this match outside of nonsense. Listen, I'm tired of Jon Moxley just wanting to do deathmatch stuff. I'm bored with it. And it's just like, okay, Pac is in there. Not Kota Ibushi. Who's the other guy?
Kanosuke Takeshita.
Sure. He's in there too. And it's like, they're a hodgepodge where the Elite are like legit friends and this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are they, like, Pac is just a dickhead anyways. He's fought with everybody in the Elite. So, okay. So Takeshita's problems with Kenny Omega, and they barely got together.
Oh, Omega, yeah.
And Pac fought more than anybody else.
Cause what who was Omega? I feel like Omega was squaring off with Claudio.
Yeah,
a lot, because they started off the match, and then whenever they did any pairing off spots, I felt like it was him and Claudio.
Yeah, and every once in a while it'll be other stuff. You know, when they obviously like double team people, whatever else, but. I mean, Moxley just comes in, and I guess I just watched, like, the Behind the Mat, or what the hell's that thing called on Vice? Tales of the Mat, whatever. And it was about Abdul the Butcher. And it's like, I'm watching this stuff, and he's just using a fork on people and stuff. I'm like, that's just gross.
Oh.
He's baiting people, he's doing all this stuff. And what happens, and this is like in the 70s and 80s. So what am I seeing in 2023 on network TV? A guy doing the same thing? Like, we haven't, like, it's just, the deathmatch stuff isn't my thing anymore. I don't know if it actually was. Like, even when we were watching that one AIW, I'm like, dude, these matches are all the same.
Like, right.
You've only got so many skewers to put in somebody's head. You only got so many doors. Now, the door was pretty unique the first time I saw it. I looked at it, I was like, is that a fucking door? You're like, yeah, they've taken the place of tables. I'm like, okay. Which we'll get to the tables thing in a second. And
oh my god. People, fans love tables.
Is it just the thing? Because Moxley comes in with a fork. He has glass. Nick Jackson, was it Nick or Matt that was on top? It was Matt, right?
Matt, yeah.
Matt starts, right, dumbass spot. His team is getting ready to get powerbombed or something. He pours tacks down. And I'm like, are you trying to help him? I mean, it caused a distraction. Sure, okay.
Yeah, you are lucky that it caused the distraction. Because, yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh my God, why are you doing that right now? Like,
now, I guess we need to eat shit for a second, because what I was complaining about last week, they did kind of cover on being the elite. So it'd be funny if they did it this week too.
Hey, oh my God.
If there's ever a spot where, if ever we get in a position where like, they're going to double power bomb us, just pour tax down.
I mean, it's not eating shit. Like, that's one of those things where, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, A, I laughed at the jokes about Kenny Omega getting beat up and, you know, all that other good stuff that they covered in being the elite this week. It still doesn't make your story make sense. You know, no. Like, It doesn't make it any dumber or any less dumb. Like, I'm sorry, like, you can explain it, but why would anyone do, you know, like, there's no good reason for that to happen.
No, like, there's no good reason. All right.
Hey, like, I know that sometimes, but in war, they send people just to get killed, and it's just like, oh, guys, come on, man. Like,
yeah, well,
that's kind of a different situation here, people. In something that is ostensibly called a sport, they don't just, you know, send people out there to get murdered on purpose.
Well, they also have a sport where people did a dance off in the middle of a match too, so whatever. But I just got bored. I'm like, cool, they're just beating each other. They're just beating on each other.
It did not help that they had, you know, at least on Collision there, they had the FTR and Bullet Club Gold match that was awesome.
Yes.
And then you just go to this and it just the whole match kind of seemed haphazard. There were some spots that I thought were really enjoyable. There were some, you know, like even things like, I remember when Nick Jackson came in the first time, and I'm like, he actually seemed to clean house in a somewhat reasonable way, where it's not like I'm fighting off three guys at one time, where he got to someone in the door, and then one of the other opponents was hung up in the rope, so then he attacked them, and then the other person was in the other ring. So it's just like, okay, like I can kind of handle this style of hot tag kind of situation.
How did they get on top of the cage? Because Wheeler was in the ring, right? And he went after him? Like, why did the referees open the door? Like, why did Pac or Pac need bolt cutters to get out?
Yeah.
He told the referee to open the door. Oh, well, wait a minute. That was before it officially started, though, right? Wheeler and Nick. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Wheeler and Matt at the top. That's what it is. Okay.
Okay. Honestly, I had the same thought running through my head at some point, and it makes a lot more sense now.
Okay. At least I believe that's why. Because Kota Ibushi and Takeshi were in there already, right?
Correct. Yeah, everyone was in when Pac decided to leave.
Yeah, I know you're not a big fan of Pac or Pac. But I love the guy because he sticks to the gimmick. As soon as Claudio hit him, he was like, hey, fuck you too.
Well, and you honestly, you could see that one coming pretty early. Like, they had a disagreement when it was just the two of them and Omega in the ring, and something happened, and you're just like, that was the first tip off. You're like, oh, okay, yep, I see what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I just enjoy the consistency of his character.
Well,
he just hates everyone.
I guess I don't hate the character per se. The problem is that, you know, just like everyone else on that roster, he's there and pushed for X number of time. And then, like, I know that part of it was COVID. Where was he the last, I don't know, 4 to 6 months or something?
He lives overseas, first off, so that's a big problem. And then the other thing is he was legitimately getting his nose fixed. Because remember he was wearing that face mask?
Oh,
he
yeah.
He had surgery, and then got messed up again. So that's why he's been gone. But living overseas doesn't help either. As a, you make a commitment, dude. So, because he was the first international, or no, all Atlantic, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, because he was defending over there.
Yeah.
And, which I thought was a great idea, but they didn't. So, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I just like that. I did not like Takeshita just leaving. Like, what?
That was one that I know that I feel like you texted me about there being a blown spot or something
oh,
at the
we haven't
end.
Gotten to that yet.
Oh, okay, so that wasn't it.
Oh,
because
it.
Honestly, I know that I was kind of watching it and doing some work at the same time, so I wasn't completely paying attention, but Takeshita leaving. Like, they started going, well, Wheeler, you didn't have much of a chance. It was like a 1-on-5. And I'm like, huh? Like, what did... They're like, Takeshita left. And I'm like, what did I miss? Like, I had to rewind it. Because, like, they made that giant deal out of, you know, Pac leaving. And it just felt like... And Don Callis was on... in the announce booth most of the time. And it's just like, why didn't we hear that in the announce booth? But he's just like, oh, now, you know, like, even if he explained, like, oh, well, now that Pac left, I'm going to get my man out of there. I don't want to get him injured or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember him saying that, at least.
Yeah.
But it really was like, okay, now that's a blown shot, too. They should have had a camera on Don Callis yelling at Takeshita, and then another one of the cameras focusing it so it's on Takeshita, so you can see his reaction, like, what? And Cal's going, let's go. He's like, we don't need this fight, or something like that. Just anything. Anything with Don Callis on screen. Nope. All of a sudden, Takeshita just leaves out the door. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And
well,
I think Excalibur had to cover for it and go, yeah, Don Callis called him out of there.
Well, yeah, because eventually you finally saw Don Callis on the
ramp.
Yeah, on the ramp, and it's just like, oh, okay, like I got it on the rewatch, but I'm just like, yeah, that did not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should have played out better than that. Like there were we presented two ways that would have been perfectly viable for how to do it.
But the excuse will be, well, there's so much action going in the ring. Well, that's garbage, because the action had been going on for 50 minutes. So there was really nothing going on, because they'd set it up to where someone was isolated over here. Moxley was in the corner or something. Like, everyone's out of the way, so the focus is on this. So you have clear camera shots of everything. Unless your guys weren't in position, which means the director didn't do his job. The producer of it didn't do their job. Which, let's just go to the end. Do you know what blown spot I'm talking about?
No, because I had to catch the Takeshita thing, I watched the last 10 minutes of that match a second time. And I'm just like...
John Moxley threw in the towel.
Oh my God.
Exactly. The most important part of it, because I was like, oh, Wheeler gave up. And they were like, oh, we're being told John Moxley gave up for Wheeler. And it's like, why isn't, like...
I wonder why he had sad dad face in the corner.
Yes, because he's... All right. So, this is how it should have gone. And this isn't fantasy booking. This is how it should have gone. Camera shot on Wheeler. Camera shot on Claudio Moxley, looking concerned because he's stuck. He's handcuffed. He can't do anything.
Yeah.
Wheeler getting choked out. Go back to Moxley. Moxley sees Wheeler suffering the same fate as he did. Hangman made a point of saying that. Claudio's nowhere to be found still. Moxley's just looking, and he's like, forget it. That's it. Knowing what Wheeler's going through and knowing he gave up too, he can't put that young guy through that. It shows Moxley has a heart of some sort. It shows that he actually does care about Wheeler. It also shows us that there is a little bit of frailty to it. It could have easily been shown in camera shots. Any high schooler knows how to do this stuff. And their production has not gotten better in the 4 years this thing's been around, or three, whatever it is. It's like, come the fuck on already. You know what the finish is going to be, and then they should know what the finish is. The director and the producer in that booth needs to know where to shoot something, when to shoot it, and make sure it's on there. And I know that sounds like really like I'm a know-it-all. I watch TV. I just saw Tom Cruise run through the streets of Venice in a fucking Fiat 500.
Oh, well,
I didn't miss any of the shots because it was planned out ahead of time.
Well, that was definitely one of the more incredible parts of that movie, honestly.
The people at Fiat are going to be jerking themselves off going, our car looks amazing. Anyways.
No, not the Fiat part. The anyone being able to find themselves around Venice without ever having been there, that is the biggest lie I have ever seen in my entire life. Fuck you. That place is a goddamn maze on 25 islands. No one knows their way around that easily.
So all right. So, but you can excuse that, man. They were just driving around in a Fiat that was a robot. So,
yeah.
But no, man. It is so disheartening that these dummies, with $1 million, like millions of dollars behind these productions, they can't get basics right. And especially when it ruins the story at the end of a match.
Yeah. And I guess I didn't even hear Excalibur mention that he threw in the towel.
Yes.
Because I'm just sitting there, like, I was still just like, well, A, I thought it was a referee stoppage, quite frankly.
Well, the problem, all right, I understand what you're getting at. I thought that at first, too, but then I remember the referee can't. The referee's only there to hear someone give up.
Oh.
So it's kind of like, you know, the deathmatch stuff. Well, it wasn't deathmatch. But yeah, man, it's just I didn't really care for it because it's too long, just dumb violence. And then at the end, it was like, oh, God, here we go. We're getting to the crescendo, and what? It's over?
Yeah, it was a fairly deflating ending. One thing that you pointed out, Kota Ibushi is the fifth guy. Don't remember.
Does he know?
I do not remember a thing that he did in that match. The only thing, actually, I should apologize. I remember one thing, which was another dumb spot. Claudio has whomever in the sharpshooter. And he sees Ibushi walk over to him. He's just like, sure, kick me.
Yes. All right.
Huh?
One, as I said.
Huh?
Kota's been enjoying his time not working. Listen, he's still in great shape, but he's not in Kota Ibushi shape.
No.
Two, he looked lost. He honestly, it was like, which of these is not like the other? And you could just see blatant, like, people pointing where to go. Hey, do this. Hey, do this. And he had, like, one spot. I don't even remember what it was. And it's like, I don't know, it's like you're sold, you're getting Kane, and then Blue Kane comes out. And you're like, what? So maybe it'll get better for him once he gets more familiar with stuff. But yeah, it just, there's such a high standard for him in the fans' eyes, it's our eyes too.
Yeah.
And it wasn't met at all.
No, it was completely underwhelming.
Yeah. There were more important and, like, special moments with, like, Kenny and Hangman Page than there was, like, Ibushi and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It almost seemed like those were the two that had a sincere reunion.
Yeah, when they use the buckshot V,
Yeah, V trigger combo.
Yeah, there've been a few years since that. That was pretty sweet. Like,
yep.
Yeah, stuff like that, and I just don't remember. I don't remember much of Kota Ibushi at all in this match.
No. No, really do not remember much about him doing anything in this match. And like I said, like there were a couple of other fun spots, but I'm kind of with you in that overall, like, it wasn't that great of a match. You know? Like,
no.
And I'm not even kind of comparing it to the Collision tag team match. Just, it was just okay. Like, I'm definitely with you in the over the deathmatch stuff, and you know some of the spots just weren't that great to start with.
No, I wasn't hyped for it anyways. It's like saying blood and guts. Cool. Every week someone bleeds. Who cares? And yes, I know they have like the bed of spikes or whatever. I don't care. Like it really. The spikes look impressive, and when it fell on Kenny Omega's back, right?
Yeah.
Looked pretty rough. And then it dragged down his arm, right?
Yeah.
He didn't even get a scratch from it. I'm not asking the spikes to be real. I'm not being stupid. But it didn't scratch him. And I immediately went, oh, okay. It looks uncomfortable as hell, and I'm sure it is. But it's not like you're actually puncturing somebody with it. I don't... We need to talk about NXT. But I don't understand the fans that watch AEW, the hardcores, that see this stuff and don't shit on it. Like, I just said I didn't enjoy it. I'm pointing out stuff I don't like about it. But these are supposedly hardcore fans, right? They want everything to be perfect. They don't mind chanting you fucked up or whatever. But when you see mistake after mistake and you're not calling it out, but you're not getting fed up, I'm like, well, maybe I'm wrong in my judgment of these people or my estimation of these people, I should say, and that they don't care. They just want to see their guys. Then cool. I mean, you're there to enjoy yourself. All right, fine.
Yeah.
After a while,
they are still living off the fumes of it not being Vince McMahon's product.
Yeah, that's true.
Which, like, to be able to hold on to that that level of hate, I in some ways admire it. In other ways, just shake my head.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously it's not bad enough where, like, I know that just within the Stunt Granny podcast, we've lived through two terrible lulls in the WWE that have been downright, like, I don't feel like watching wrestling anymore. You know, like, the time that we've been running this podcast, there. So, I mean, and AEW isn't at that stage. It isn't good, though. Well, Collision's good, but it's also, if you don't really like pro wrestling itself, not huge in the character department. So, you know, I like how everything's been run on there, so for the most part. But yeah, there's still some things lacking if you want to be sports entertained. Maybe that's probably a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't hate Dynamite, but I don't enjoy it that much. Whereas Collision, every week it's been on, I've been enjoying the shit out of that thing. So maybe this is just like Collision's the wrestling show, Dynamite's the experimental garbage. I don't know. But I don't know how much more I can take of this stuff. And I'm hoping like this deathmatch garbage is going the wayside because I'm bored with it. And I really do think Moxley's deteriorated as a performance, as a performer. I'm sorry, but anybody, like his promos and his intensity, you know, they're great. They really are. But just the constant, oh, I got glass now. Oh, I got this. I got that. Like, I'm waiting for him to bring light tubes back. You know, ever since that Nick Gage garbage I was at, the panes of glass, like, I know it's physically probably more taxing, right? But it's also cheap. It doesn't make you a better performer when you're using, like everyone hates prop comedy. Like, Carrot Top was one of the biggest comics. Remember he used to play when we were in school. He used to play Kent State all the time. Sold out an arena. He sold out an arena. All of a sudden everyone hates him. Prop comedy's stupid. No, prop comedy's got its place. But not all the time. And it's been all the time with this guy.
Yeah. The in-ring stuff for Moxley is definitely... It's pretty bad when you are asking the wife, like... Hey, are you okay with him bleeding like every week? Like it's another one of those things where it really is so common that it's a wrestling meme.
Yeah, yes. Well, I read his defense. It was like we're supposed to be doing real stuff, so you should bleed. And then someone pointed out, well, he just had like a boxing tournament or something. He was in and won, and he got punched in the face, and didn't bleed. So,
he was in a boxing tournament.
Yeah, he was in some, like, I don't know, it was like some fighting tournament or something, and he won it in his spare time or something. That's what I read. I didn't look into it. I just thought it was funny that he was getting punched for real and didn't actually bleed. So,
yeah.
You kind of ruined your argument.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of UFC and boxing. Well, and, boy, boxing way before UFC.
Yeah.
There was not bleeding in every match. Just,
at least not. Maybe some. Maybe he's doing it well. I bleed my matches like something like this guy used to. Sure. But can we move on to something good? And I'm being dead serious.
Yeah,
we go to NXT.
We can talk about being sports entertained because they are really sports entertaining the hell out of me.
All right. This show was goofy as hell. I have to lead off with the main event. The match was fine. If one, it got spoiled for me. So that sucked. And that's why I waited until today to watch. I already knew like what the big thing was.
That was a little bit of a bummer for me because YouTube does not always give me... It's usually pretty solid ideas for clips to go back. But this one was just like Dominic Mysterio, new North American champion. I'm like, motherfuckers, I haven't seen this yet.
God, I just went, oh no. I enjoyed the hell out of this. I know we're supposed to boo Dominic, but the Judgment Day is getting to be cool as hell. And...
That match to me was that's the genesis of them being cool.
Yes,
I was really because in the big arenas, even on Monday Night Raw, Dom was fucking booed out of the building.
Yeah,
but that was a mixed reaction when he won.
Yeah, so I think part of it was genuine shock on the audience's part. Two, that they were there to see a title change. And then three, that they were just had, like, Dominic won, right?
Yeah.
What I liked about the match is he had no business winning. And the entire time, no one's interfering. There's no Finn out there. There's no Damian. Rhea's kind of, like, just, you know, doing her thing. Whatever else, right?
Yeah.
The interference in the end lasted a minute. Finn slides out, like, cool-ass baseball slide across the ring apron, distracts the ref, Damien doesn't get the job done. Rhea hits him, pin 1, 2, 3. It's not this constant interference. It was that shocking that all of a sudden the Judgment Day just shows up in full, the match is over.
Which makes a lot of sense when it's
exactly
like 5-on-1 or whatever, 4-on-1.
Yeah, because the referee and Rhea, to her credit, did her thing and sat back where she was, or at least away, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It didn't give the referee time to go, hey, what's going on here? You're out of here. Like, none of that. It was bam, 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 the match is over. And it stunned everyone. Because they even have, like, you know, you're expecting Mustafa Ali to come out there. Or something, right? He was never given that chance.
No.
And I absolutely love the ending. I don't care if Dominic won. I love the precision. I love the decision making. Like, that was cool as hell. And then the genuine happiness on those guys and gals' face. Those four are like friends. You can tell. It just makes it better.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a hell of a thing for them. It's been a weird and interesting ride.
Mm-hmm. It really has. And Seth on that same Logan Paul thing was talking about how he's beat up. He's got injuries. He's been dealing with for a while. He needs to get taken care of, whatever else. I'm all for Finn winning the title. And them basically legitimately running Raw. And even Damian Priest, like he said, he won't cash in on Finn. And I know they've been teasing this with Judgment Day. Don't do it. Don't pull that trigger. A scenario that literally just popped in my head. Money in the Bank was last month, right? Or no, this month. It was July.
Yeah.
Cody wins, he beats Roman Reigns, right? Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion. If he's going to follow the Dusty model, that doesn't last long. The money's in the chase. Damian Priest beats him for the title. Judgment Day's got all the gold.
Uh-oh.
Going into next year. And then you can have all sorts of shenanigans. Because I guess JD McDonagh was supposedly going to join, or at least be part of the Judgment Day idea.
Oh.
And they even hinted at it, and it just got dropped.
Yet again, in the category of Vince is definitely still around with shenanigans like that happening.
Wait, you mean Big Bronson Reed? Or Dirty Dom Mysterio? You know, that may be Vince. Big Bronson Reed. Vince doesn't like wrestling, doesn't like pro wrestling bullshit. Isn't that what he always says? Like, that's just pro wrestling shit. And yet, here he is.
No.
Doing
pro wrestling shit all the time.
Ugh. All
the time.
Bearcat Keith Lee?
If it was obvious, modeled after some older African-American wrestler, like, no, just not really great these days, guys. Let's shy away from that.
Or why not Keith Junkyard Lee? But anyways, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, but Judgment Day, they've got something. They stumbled into this too. Like, Finn looks like he's having a great time. When Dominic won, he shot in the air. Like, I know they're supposed to act happy and stuff, right?
Right.
They all look legitimately happy. Like, you can just tell sometimes. And that was definitely part of it. So, I love the end. I don't care what happens next. Because it's kind of like a chaotic thing now. Because even Mustafa Ali was like, hey, what are you doing? So now is Judgment Day going to be on the show for Great American Bash? Help sell tickets, maybe? You know?
I guess.
Yeah. So.
You know, I mean, it's not the worst thing. Like, Wes Lee's, and to me, he's a guy that, what, I've been watching for 4 or 5 years now, something like that, just between his Impact time and NXT. I mean, he's ready. So what are we waiting for? You know, like, to me, he's one of those few people in NXT that I'm like, what are we waiting here for, folks?
Okay, so you've kind of done this to me. When you start mentioning, like, is everybody in England 5'9"? And I look at the NXT roster now. Dragon Lee, Wes Lee, Nathan Frazier.
Well,
Lotharios aren't much taller. And I'm like, is this the cruiserweight NXT? And they're just not calling it that?
Maybe. Because, I mean, what's his name? Ilya Dragunov and Carmelo Hayes had their showdown. I'm just like, oh, Dragunov's taller than him, too?
Guy.
I'm just like, again, not by a lot, but it's just like, damn, Carmelo, like, I don't know what you're going to do. I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum about the main roster being, you know, the land of the trees. And it's just like, whew, boy.
If it was Triple H straight running it, I don't think it'd be an issue. With Vince clearly having his hands and stuff, it's going to be an issue. It just is. So, yeah, it's just, even Wes Lee, he's not that tall.
No.
You know, like Carmelo's not. And I think we talked about this before, or I've mentioned it before. Vince will see Carmelo, and he will see Trick Williams. And he goes like, why are we putting all our money on the small guy? You know that's what's going to happen.
That is 100% the answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bash a trick, you know? But Carmelo has got the talent. Everyone can see it. But, I mean, we'll see. But, yeah, I don't have my hopes up. Especially when this merger's over, Vince can do whatever he wants. So
He can stop pretending that Triple H is running the show.
Yeah. They will still argue, well, Triple H still has a say in stuff. I'm like, yeah, how long is that going to last? Vince is just doing his little sneaky shit now, and as soon as he's the chairman, when this Endeavor thing goes through, you know he's putting a stamp back on stuff. We all know it. Why wouldn't he? It's his, well, it was his company. It's his company. So.
Yeah, I mean, it still essentially is.
So, yeah, it's just the main event and the angle needs to be applauded something big. I don't think it's getting enough credit for how fun that was and how
good
the decision it was to upend what's going to be a boring NXT North American match with Ali and Wes Lee. And what I mean by that is Wes Lee's clearly going to win. So, which I guess is what made this Dominic thing so special.
Yeah, you really don't get that too often in wrestling in general, where one of the champions takes an unexpected loss going into a championship match.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I know that's happened before, but it's very few times. You know, where a champion has kind of lost a championship, then it's just like, oh, shit, well, this pay-per-view is completely different now.
Well, I remember WrestleMania 18 when Road Dogg won the Intercontinental title and Billy Gunn won the Hardcore title. Remember that? And they had to switch them. They had to switch the matches they were in. So it was like kind of like, wait, what? It just made it different. You know, like all the people Billy Gunn was feuding with, he's now in a totally different match. So I just thought that was like, I thought that was unique at the time. And they haven't really done stuff like that. So I was like, all right, cool. And like, this isn't a Dolph Ziggler, Braun Breaker. This is a secondary title with one of the most over acts WWE as well. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I enjoyed that. Tiffany Stratton just proves to be one of the best women's talkers that thing with Thea Hale's like, I want to be a submission match. And she goes, absolutely not. They killed me. No shame or anything. No.
Yeah, she's just like, what the fuck are we talking about? Like, I love that just being logical is the right move. Like, huh? Why would I agree to that?
Yeah, I already beat you. Why am I agreeing to your terms? And she's right. Like, no, tough shit. So, yeah, I thought that was really good. And Thea Hale is... Like, you know, Dragunov keeps talking about he's the most intense performer in NXT, and it's like, Thea Hale's trying to leapfrog him. But it's so cartoony, it makes it funny.
Yeah. He kind of has a somewhat serious demeanor when he's doing it. But yeah, the youthful exuberance of being 19 or 20, whatever she is, think shows through in that regard.
Yeah, but I don't want her beating Tiffany Stratton, but I am enjoying this. So,
oh,
you know,
yeah, I haven't heard being at the Tiffy Top enough yet for my liking.
I'm not sure I want to hear you say that anymore. That sounded so weird. Oh, Jesus. So, what else is on the show? Oh, Scripps turning on Axiom? Sure. Whatever. Who gives a fuck? Hey, listen, you're not my partner. I got other things I want to do on my own. Okay, man, that's cool. I mean, yeah, what do you think he's going to do, stupid?
It's still one of those things where, to me, when you get to the match part, it gets a little stupid. You know, if there really is a money prize involved to professional wrestling, you should always turn on your partner after the match.
Yes.
That's the only thing I have. Like, because other than that, I'm with you. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, they haven't really done much for Axiom, quite frankly, in the scheme of things. He's at least above Scripps. That's not saying a whole lot, though.
Yeah, it's like that whole thing kind of gotten forgotten about after they got murdered by... Dabakato.
Oh.
And then they were on whatever level up for a while.
Yep.
So, and also they just bring them back just to break them up. Oh, on the same day that Los Lotharios apparently are breaking up.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, looks like NXT has a strong tag division and all of a sudden they promptly do not have a strong tag division.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, oh, okay. But also, like, Hector, no, not Hector, Angel Garza, he was over down there as, like, the babyface Lothario. And then they moved him up to the main roster, and he became a bad guy. It's like, wait, what? And then there's something just off-putting about Humberto Carrillo. I can't put my finger on it. There's just something I don't like.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what to tell you on that one because I was in the opposite boat. I guess I thought that Angel Garza did better work as a heel. And I was a little bit shocked that he is being put in the babyface spot in this feud.
Well, I mean, they're not, you know, they're not all broken up. You know,
Yeah, not officially, no.
Yeah, well, at least not yet. So it could be, you know, a whole, you know, subterfuge, bait and switch, something like that. You know, so I don't know. But so there's that.
Tony D'Angelo homecoming.
Hang on. Let's not bury the lead yet. Just calm the fuck down.
Well, it sounded like you were reaching for something, and that was the next thing on my brain.
No, because, oh, we had the whole Joe Gacy thing with the Creed brothers clearly pushing Joe Gacy.
Oh.
That started that whole brawl. What else was on here? I just want to make sure we get everything out of the way, because the Tony D stuff.
Okay, let's... Oh, by the way, it should... Oh, my gosh. Talk about people not getting the good end of booking. Gigi Dolin...
Oh, God, this match, too.
His just looked like a complete moron at all times.
Yeah. Okay, so can we just, as an aside, can we please stop having the women of NXT swinging inanimate objects? Please. Just stop it. She was, like, her and
Kiana James
are both swinging this bag like they've never touched a bag before. And it just took me out of it. Like, holy God. And Cora Jade, for the one time ever, swinging a kendo stick hard into the lockers. Like, how about you do that out when you're trying to hit somebody? Instead of stumbling over like you're carrying a tree trunk. Yeah, that, all that stuff, like, oh, God, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, because I thought of something else, so go ahead, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know what else to say, like, she's just in a terrible spot, you know, like, it was still weird. I guess I thought Jace, this is another one where I thought JC was probably the better choice as a baby face. They decided to go with Gigi, and I...
Yeah. But it's like, dude, I don't understand why the women have such a hard time swinging to objects.
Oh, yeah.
She's, like, you ever been in a pillow fight? Swing the fucking bag. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, it's up to the other person. Like, you know what's coming. Time it out. Like, ugh. It's like Gigi Dolin. She wasn't bad. And clearly, I like her. It just seems like she's regressing. And, like, and I do mean in the ring. It's weird. Maybe they're giving her spots that she's not comfortable with. Which, of course, I'm like, well, you gotta be prepared for anything.
Okay.
But how about you just deal with a developmental chick as if you're developing her still? Instead of going, well, we're gonna get you out of your comfort zone. I don't have one yet. So why would you give me something difficult? But... Yeah, that whole thing was a mess. JC Jane wasn't even on the show, right?
No.
Okay, there is... I mentioned her name before, but... the stuff with Eddie Dennis and then Noam Dar sitting in the wheelchair, they got a chuckle, dude. He got a good chuckle.
Oh, his weekend at Bernie's act is kind of funny.
Yeah. Like, that's just a group of misfits anyways. So it just works. And then Eddie Dennis, and who's the guy he ended up getting in a fight with? Oh, God, who's the guy in Noam Dar's group? Oh, that guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh. Aura Mensa.
That's right. That's it. Yeah.
And Eddie Thorpe, because you're going by the English name, and I don't remember. Yes. I don't notice that at all.
Yeah, sorry, it's Eddie Thorpe. He doesn't do anything for me either. Yeah. He even goes, yeah, I don't talk too much. And it's like, well, you're in trouble.
You know, and I forgot, this was something that as I was scrolling through to see what we may have missed, scraps-wise, Electra Lopez, talk about a never-ending fall.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Well,
yeesh.
Speaking of tumbles, this Dana Brooke stuff.
Oh my god.
It. I don't mind Cora Jade or gymnastics. Like, that's gonna help. I'm like, yeah, it won't. And then she smacks her kendo stick. But I'm watching this after I sent you that cringe thing. I'm like, what? How is this supposed to help Dana Brooke get better? This isn't going to get her over at all.
I don't know. They're doing character work for her, but it's not making her look any better.
No, it's not. Just here's the thing. Just let, if everything's failing, let her be herself. If it doesn't work out, then bye. And that's what it feels like with Baron Corbin, too. Like, this is the last ditch for him.
That's one where I was kind of laughing a little bit at him talking about, why don't you try to get into a ring, you know, doing tough talk to someone online. It's just like, I mean, I get what you're saying, dude, and that you've gotten to, like, the best of the best. It doesn't mean you deserve a job there? Or have been good at your job? Like, luckily, we're not all sitting in front of, you know, a couple of million people doing our jobs. So there are maybe a handful of people who can evaluate what the fuck we're actually doing.
Yeah. I hate that stuff. Like, well, you've never been in the ring before. No, I've also never been in a movie either. And I know when a movie's good or bad. You know, I have eyes. It's okay. But it's just like when Tyler, oh, so you're messaging me from your grandma's basement? Like, really? We're still doing that, huh?
Oh, my God.
It just makes you sound old and out of touch. It does not help yourself at all.
No.
So, but, the Dana Brooke stuff was just cringe.
Yeah. So neither of them are being hugged. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the reboot of Baron Corbin will work out just because he's had decent characters along the way. It still just doesn't seem like they completely trust him in the ring, even though he's been in the ring for, like, 8 years now.
No, they don't, and I don't think they should. It's like, his in-ring work stuff's fine. It's just him as a character's boring. And he looks plain. We talked about it. There's no need to pile on. It's just, it's more, it's like, is it even that big of a concern? You know? So, especially when we have to get to this Tony D stuff. They tried to make it like a Usual Suspects thing, right? And none of it made sense. The continuity doesn't make sense because Tony D's got his thick-ass beard in every single scene of the past. It's like he didn't go in there with a thick beard.
Oh. Yes. I did not notice that.
Yes. Their continuity guy messed up something severe. But I love the idea that all of this was planned, all this was going on, Tony D's in on the whole thing, and then he goes, all right, I got him right where I am. Now all I gotta do is win the match. And I just went, that's a big if. Like, you have no backup. Like, if the people that were in the ring for the celebration of Tony D getting out of jail, if they would have helped, you know, helped interfere, like, that was the plan the entire time.
Oh, right.
Then sure. But he was just throwing caution to the wind. Like, betting on himself. But I love the whole thing. It's so dumb. He stops and talks to Dom and said, like, what, Crazy Bob says hi or something. He's like, oh
yeah, Bob from the yard said hi.
Yeah. And then Dom was like, oh yeah, Crazy Bob.
That was hilarious. And just Gallus dumb for thinking that the Don and his family would come empty-handed.
Yep. So, yeah. I liked it a lot. It fit the NXT mold. Jeremy Borash is just good at this stuff. Like, when Stax picked him up at the prison when he's coming out, I did pause it to see if there was anything on, like, the paperwork that was, like, an Easter egg. There's nothing on there.
Right.
So, but yeah, just... It's just fun, and that's clearly Borash is behind it, because it's filmed the way he does.
Yeah,
just... So now, it's... Alright, so I guess it'll be Gallus versus... They need to come up with a name, but Stax and D'Angelo.
The family.
So, are they calling the family?
I don't know. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, why not?
Oh, okay. So...
And call them Pisons, the Guidos. Maybe they'll just get really offensive and just call them the Wops.
Well,
why not?
If they're okay with it. Hey. Is that how it works?
Yep. Bell time beer on your end, sir.
Yeah, I actually did have one this week because whatever. I'm with the El Segundo, so you know what's coming next.
Nope. Yeah.
Steve Austin's Broken Skull Double IPA. Pretty good. So I like the original Broken Skull as well. So I've not tried the lager though.
So I'm not sure if I if this one may have come in your mail or not. I am still doing a little bit of fridge cleaning out from stuff in December at this point. At least it's newer. Columbus Brewing Company, Insane Wonder, Hazy Pale Ale. I'm trying to... Oh, Volume 4. Yeah, that's 4. So it's a delicious series that they rotate through different hop varieties and... It's the rest of the grain bill is all the same. It's just the hops get changed out. And yeah, it's a great series. It's really tasty, and I haven't been terribly disappointed by any of them. And number 4 happens to be a very tasty version. So that is the suggestion from @DeFrango11. He is @GrannyMays. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.